The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the mindsets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm really excited for today's guest. Mark Podolsky, aka the Land Geek, is widely considered the country's most trusted and foremost authority on buying and selling raw, undeveloped land within the United States. He has been actively investing in real estate and raw land since 2001 and has completed over 5,000 unique transactions. Mark's company, Frontier Equity Properties, is an A-plus rated BBB real estate company. Mark has achieved this level of success largely due to his core business philosophy, happy customers guaranteed, which we should all have a good philosophy for. And Mark is one of the top-rated podcasts in investing category on iTunes, titled The Best Passive Income Model and the Art of Passive Income. He is also the host of the Land Geek podcast, Work Smart, Earn More, and Learn How. Mark, I'm excited to welcome you to Making Bank today.
Josh Felber, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
For sure, man. So give us a little bit of background. I guess, what got you started into the whole entrepreneur space?
So in 2000, I was a very unhappy investment banker.
Okay.
I was working with private equity groups, doing mergers and acquisitions, you know, middle market, $5 to $500 million enterprise value.
Sure.
Small stuff. Yeah. So, you know, I had a 45-minute commute to work and back, politics, micromanaged, no control, long hours, high pressure. And so, Josh, it got to the point where, like, I didn't get the Sunday blues anticipating Monday coming. I'd get the Friday blues anticipating the weekend going really fast and, you know, having to be at work on Monday. So my firm hires this guy, and he tells me that on the side, he's going to tax deed auctions.
Okay.
And he's buying up raw land, and he's putting them up online, and he's selling it, and he's making a 300% return on investment. Well, Josh, I'm looking at companies all day long. A great company. A great company has 15% EBITDA margins or higher, free cash flow. Great company. Your average company is at 10%, and I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%. So I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm from the show me state. I don't believe him. 300%. So we go, I've got like $3,000 saved up for car repairs. We go to this auction in New Mexico. I'm looking at raw land. I've never done anything in real estate except buy my house. Right. And it just looks like dirt to me. And we go to this auction, and I'm, you know, and there's no one in there. And I'm buying up these half acre lots. And I paid an average price of $300. So I got 10 half-acre lots, $300.
Wow.
Next week, just put them up online. They sell for an average price of over $1,200. He was right.
Wow.
Son of a gun. So I take all that money, and I go to another auction in Arizona where I'm from. And I start – or I'm living. I'm from St. Louis. So there's no one in the room. I'm buying up properties left and right. And after that one auction, I made over $90,000 in six months. And so I go to my wife. I'm like, honey, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to invest in land full time. She's like, absolutely not. So I said, okay. So I did it part time for 18 months.
Okay.
And until the land investing income exceeded my investment banking income, I quit. And I've been doing it full time since 2001. And I love it. I love it. So I think it is the best passive income model, the ultimate subscription model, because the way that I do it, we can kind of get into it, is, you know, it's a one-time sale, and then I get recurring income every single month, but it's a piece of raw land, so I don't have to deal with renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents. Because I'm not dealing with the tenant, I don't have to deal with Dodd-Frank, RESPA, Safe Act. I've got nothing to maintain, nothing to protect. It's not like anyone's calling me and say, hey, my raw land's leaking, right?
Yeah.
And and there's no one doing it. It's a massive market and literally no competition, no private equity groups, no hedge funds. So if you went to a real estate investment meeting, there'd be 100 people in that meeting. 99 of them are house flippers and wholesalers.
Right.
You and I would be the only land guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so that's amazing. And so you started all this back in 2000, 2001. Today, I mean, do you have more, I guess, competition? Do you have more people at those auctions and stuff now? Or is it still just a couple guys showing up buying land?
Right. So, you know, entrepreneurially, like, we got to pivot, right? So from 2001 to 2006, it got very competitive at the auctions.
Okay.
Right. So it got to the point where, like, I'm like, something, I need to do something differently. So that's when I started actually getting people's properties before they went to auction and avoided any competition. So what I would do is I would get a list from the county treasurer of people that owed back taxes and lived out of state, and I would actually send them an offer for their property and say, hey, I'm interested in buying your property before it goes to tax deed or tax lien auction. And they would sell it to me, you know, 23 cents on the dollar. So ever since then, I didn't have to go to auctions. Now 2008 rolls around, the market crashes, right. No one has any money, you could go back to auctions, right? Today, okay. I avoid auctions again.
So it's kind of cycled back and then down again, and now it's come back to where it's more competitive and everything.
Exactly. Huh.
And so when you were making the offers then to people before they went to auction, you were still buying the raw land and everything right there?
Correct.
Awesome. And so what then, and then you turn around and you sell them back online still as raw land, or do you sell them as development opportunity, or do you develop them, or?
No, I tell everybody I'm dirt poor. I can only afford the dirt. And you know, when you look at the numbers, 80% of developers go under. So it's a really high risk, high reward type of thing. So our margins are 300% to 1,000%. So I'll kind of, you know, if I'm buying this asset 20 cents on the dollar, then I can flip it online in time value of money. I do owner financing. So let's say, for example, Josh, I buy a piece of property from you for $1,000, right? Well, I'll then sell it for $10,000, right? And I'll do a car payment. I'll get $1,000 down, $249 a month at 12.9%. And then you'll pay me over the next, you know, 60 months, right? And we do it on a land contract, which is very different than a deed of trust. So a land contract, that asset remains in my ownership until you pay off that note. And with software today, I have this business 90% automated.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
I actually work in Frontier Equity Properties 2 hours a week. I destroy Tim Ferriss in his 4-hour work week.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it took a long time to get to that point, but
right.
we're finally there.
No, that's pretty amazing. I've not talked to anybody that's invested in land, a lot of different other parts of real estate, house flipping, commercial properties, and things like that, but not the land. Is there a specific criteria that you look for when you go in? I mean, or do you just like, hey, I'm buying land in the middle of New Mexico, and it's kind of out in there?
Yeah. So there's 3,007 U.S. counties, right? And so what I want to do is I want to look at counties where I'm going to have the biggest buyer pool, and I know definitively there's deals being done there. And the way I get that knowledge is basically doing a Google search and then kind of digging a little deeper, and I call the county assessor, and I'll get, you know, comparable sales. So, you know, nobody wakes up, Josh, and thinks, boy, I'd really love to own a piece of raw land in Minnesota, unless you live in Minnesota. So I focus on areas like Arizona and Texas, California, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, and Florida.
Right? Okay.
Just in those states alone, we've got growth, we've got tons of raw land available, and it's just a numbers game.
Sure. No, and that's exciting. What might be then, I guess, three things that have really put you on, or what kept you in the game, you know, to lead you down this path to where you are today?
Well, in 2010, when we got kind of hit, so we're on the long tail of real estate. So when housing gets hit, we really don't feel it for about two more years, right? So I wasn't really hit till 2010. I had a great year in 2008 and 2009. 2010 was tough. 2011 was tough. We kind of came out of it in 2012, 2013.
Okay.
So, you know, that curve was a little, we're a little slower, but I would say what I really got out of it was it really forced me to create processes and systems and treat it like a real business as opposed to like, if you, I mean, from 2001 to 2010, you know, people thought I was a drug dealer. Like it was just so, it was so easy.
Right.
Right. Like, it was just, it wasn't me. It was just, you know, the market was so hot. I think my advantage was that I was very conservative financially. And instead of over-leveraging and going as big as I could go, I was conservative, and I think that's what sustained me, because where a lot of my competitors then were over-leveraged. I mean, they had bigger houses and bigger cars and bigger lives, but then they were over-leveraged and they had to go.
Right. Gotcha. You know, along your journey then, do you go out and teach this now, or do you just you're still just focus on buying? Or, you know, people say, hey, you know, Mark, I'd love to learn how to do this. You know, do you guys teach that now, or...
Yeah, we definitely teach it. And, you know, it's so funny because for me, it's like the most gratifying part of business, because nobody ever thanked me for, hey, thanks so much for selling me this piece of raw land. Like, they're grateful. But I mean, the you know, I've retired people and I've retired spouses. I've got one client who is in, they quit their jobs. They have enough passive income. They quit their jobs and they're in Europe right now and they're traveling. And so... it's so humbling and gratifying that to move the needle in people's lives, teaching them how to do this and, sure, and getting those kinds of results. And so, yeah, that part's just been amazing. And you know, I remember thinking, or actually it wasn't me, it was my wife. She's like, Mark, she's like, why are you teaching anybody how to do this? She's like, you're going to create your own competition. And I'm like, honey, let's do the numbers, right? I'm like, there's 3,070 U.S. counties. There's billions of acres of land. How many properties can I buy?
Right.
I mean, you, me, a million people in this niche. We're all going to run out of money before we run out of deal flow.
Right.
So that's been the case. And I always said, you know, look, because I am full-time land investing. I'm like, if it ever comes down to the day where I send out an offer to somebody that's like, hey, Mark, I got your offer and I got three others just like it and yours is the lowest, that's when I'm shutting down Land Geek. But It hasn't happened. It's been amazing.
Cool. And so with this passive, you know, the passive income kind of model that you teach and everything, and you know, that you've created for yourself, what are kind of, I guess, maybe the three best or the three benefits or the lifestyle that's been able to afford for you? Because obviously you said you don't go or you don't live an over exuberant life, but what are maybe some of the benefits that it's really provided for you and your family?
Right. Well, I did live the over exuberant life. So I did have the big house and I did have the big cars. I did the private schools. I had the nanny five days a week. And I did do all that. So, you know, it was quite humbling and quite a kick in the ego to have to tell my wife, like, half my income's gone and we're going to have to, you know, adjust. So we got rid of the house. We got rid of the cars. We got rid of the private school. And we started playing charades on the weekends instead of going out to like Mastro's like we used to. I actually think, you know, I look back at it, it was really hard to do. But now it's kind of a blessing because I can really tell people honestly that, you know, all those things are great, but they won't make you happy. They really won't. So, you know, it was sort of a spiritual awakening for me about what's really important in my life. So what's really important to me, why I'm doing this, is freedom and flexibility. And so I work 3 days a week. I take Mondays off. I take Fridays off. Tuesday, I do my podcast. Wednesday, I have meetings. And then Thursday, I work on the business. So I theme my days. And, you know, just this morning, like you can see, I worked out. I had coffee with my wife. And so for me, it's really about this model allows me to really focus on what's really most important to me, which ultimately is the quality of my relationships.
Okay.
Right. It's not going to do me any good to have all this money and my wife and children hate me and right. not know me. Right.
Sure.
Or I don't know, just kind of not be the kind of person I want to be.
Right.
Right. Or I'm stressed out and I'm not present, you know,
for sure. Yeah.
Anxious all the time because I'm constantly worried about this or that. So that's really what the model has afforded me is, you know, my passive income exceeds my fixed expenses. I'm challenged every day. I'm intellectually challenged. I love working on the business and growing the business, creating systems and processes, doing different, you know, things and learning more and having this community, which is, you know, awesome. But ultimately, that freedom and flexibility is, I'm really in the freedom business is what I'm in.
Right. Yeah. No, and I think that, and that's really important because a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we get so caught up and, you know, we're pushing hard and everything else. And a lot of that other pieces get, you know, we don't have that presence when we're communicating with our family or our spouse or friends and, you know, and, or we lose the freedom that we're trying to get.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that typical entrepreneurial dilemma. They either have money and no time, or they have time and no money, right?
Right. So say, you know, I was getting ready to go into, I'm like, man, I love Mark's story, and, you know, I really want to get into land investing and everything else. What would you say maybe are the 3 to 5 points if somebody's ready to start and they want to go start doing this on their own?
Right. So, okay, let's go through the model then. So the first thing we need to do is we got to research a county. Okay. So again, we don't want to go to Minnesota or Arkansas. Nothing wrong with those states. You know, East Coast, we could have EPA issues. So, you know, Superfund sites out there, which is a huge problem. You can look those up at EPA.gov. The first thing is you want to do county research. Once you pick your county and you know definitively deals are going to be done there, we need to get a list of people that own real property in that county. So let's call the county treasurer or the county assessor and get that list. Then we're going to scrub the list and we're going to get rid of all the houses, industrial property, commercial property. And we can do that by use code, VL, vacant land, right? Or whatever that use code might be in that county. So now we've got a good list, right? Then we want to scrub it one more time. We want to do batches because I'm not going to send you, Josh, an offer. You know, if you got an acre, the same thing as somebody has 10 acres. Otherwise, you're going to send me glitter back in the mail.
Right.
Right. So then we're going to send out our offers. And the way that we create these offers is we want to do that Warren Buffett, right, massive margin of safety. So okay. We'll look at the comps and we're going to divide by 4, right? Mm. And then we're going to actually send an actual offer because, again, I can always make more money. I can't get more time. So
right.
I don't want to be in the appraisal business. I don't want to spend all my day being on the phone with people saying, yeah, I'm interested in selling my land. What's your offer, right?
Okay.
I give them an actual offer, right? 3 to 5% of people are going to accept that offer, right?
Wow. Okay.
Then we go through our due diligence. We have a whole due diligence checklist, right? Legal access, ingress and egress. You know, is there clean title? No breaks in the chain of the title.
Okay.
You know, all these things that you would typically do in real estate. Then we close on that property, right? Now I own the property. Then within 30 days, I'm going to sell that property. Josh, guess who the best person is to buy that property?
I don't know.
I got a built-in best buyer. The housing guys don't have it.
Yourself?
No.
No.
The neighbor. The neighbor. So we send out neighbor letters saying, hey, before we go to the open market, here's your opportunity to get a larger tract of land, protect your view.
Gotcha. Right?
Because they're now the fear is like, who's my neighbor going to be? Are they going to put a house? What are they going to do out there?
Sure.
Right? I'll buy it. So now if the neighbors pass, then we go to our buyers list. These are people that are already, you know, we've already educated on the benefits of owning raw land. If they all pass, then we go to a little website you probably never heard of. It's the 10th most trafficked website in the U.S. called Craigslist. Right?
Right.
And then we have a program that we can, we do automation. So by the click of a button, I have 124 ads posted.
Wow.
Right? Right.
That's
with
cool.
A 90% stick rate. It's amazing. Now, if Craigslist doesn't go well, we do the same thing on Facebook. So we automate Facebook ads and then buy sell groups. So now within 30 days, if that property hasn't sold, Mark's freaking out because I mispriced it. Either the down payment needs to go higher, down payment needs to go lower, the price needs to go higher, price needs to go lower, the interest rate needs to be changed, something needs to change.
Okay.
That property to sell, right?
Right.
And so that's the model. So now we sell the property, right? We want to get our money out typically on the down payment or within 6 months of that time. And then we have this recurring passive income, which, again, we're using software called geekpay.io to automate it. So now it's a one-time set-it-and-forget-it system where it automatically charges their ACH or their credit card on file. If fails, it charges the next one on file, right? They can log in. They can see their current balance. They can make a prepayment. And it's an amazing system. So with software now, it's all automated.
So a couple questions then based on what you're saying. So and so when you were talking about, you know, the best people to go to then would be like the neighbors and everything else. So that so some of the tracts of land that you are buying, the raw land, are in an, a development that may just be have parcels that are undeveloped.
Yeah, possibly. Or it could just be that, you know, these people were buying property as an investment, or mom and dad bought it as an investment, and here's your chance to get the larger tract. Sometimes they'll say, no, I'm not interested in buying. I'll sell you my property too, which is great. So now I got an even a larger tract.
Sure.
To sell.
And yeah. Then what percentage of the deals do you usually have closed within the 30 days?
About 99%. We're pretty good at it now.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. So you have this whole process and program and the automated back end pieces and everything. Are when people come and they say, hey, Mark, you know, I want to work with you on this, do you then just plug them into that whole model? Or you just say, okay, hey, here's the program, and they just go kind of do it on their own? Or what do you, how do you guys have that set up?
Yeah, I mean, we have personas, right? So Everyone's different. So are you a do-it-yourselfer, right?
Right.
Here's where you go. Like, I mean, come on, there's no more secrets, Josh. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, like,
it's all out there.
All that information's free, right?
Right. So,
here's where you go to get all that free information and start doing it, right?
Okay.
If you've got, if you want to have a Sherpa who's going to take you up Mount Everest so you don't get hurt, right?
Right.
We have that program, right? If you want to go up super fast up that mountain, right? We've got that program. So it depends on who you are, what you want to do.
Okay. So you guys can then accommodate anybody to
make it happen. We've solved just about every pain point in this business.
We got a few minutes left. What would you say probably along your journey would be your most transformational or life-changing event throughout your journey?
2010 was pretty transformational for me, you know, kind of getting back to a value-based and losing sort of ego in that process. But I'd say as far as the business being validated, right? So in 2010, I was still profitable. I was still making six figures. I just wasn't making high six figures anymore. And so I think for me, that really helped kind of propel me into thinking, well, I better start really treating like this like a business and doing all this, you know, Michael Gerber e-myth stuff and developing the processes and really treating it like an entrepreneur.
I guess, first of all, you know, where can people find out about what you guys do and more information about, you know, hey, I want to invest in raw land. You know, where should they go check you out at?
Yeah, so we have all this information at thelandgeek.com, and that's a great place to go. And since if they're listening to the podcast, they can go to thelandgeek.com/makingbank. And we've got a little course we created to kind of let people dip their toe in the water. It's called the Passive Income Launch Kit. We sell that for $97, but let's give Making Bank people the love, and then we'll give it to them for free.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And they just go there, fill in the information, they'll get digital course then?
The digital course, yeah.
Oh, awesome. That's great. And then the Land Geek for just more information on your guys' overall programs and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
What would be, I guess, one last thing you'd like to leave our audience with that you feel is important to their journey?
I think, you know, the value of grit, right? And I love that Zig Ziglar quote. If you'll do for the next 3 to 5 years what other people won't do, you'll be able to do the rest of your life what other people can't do. And so, but I think that a lot of times we come up like this artificial timeline, and you know, we might be really great at one thing, and then we try to do another thing, and our expectation is, well, we should be just as good at that. But it's when it's new, like, you've got to go through the suffering of the learning curve, and sort of, I love to say, embrace the suck, right? But once you kind of get to that point, then it, you know, life becomes amazing.
cool. No, that's awesome. Well, I want to really just thank you and appreciate your time today coming on Making Bank and really kind of diving in and learning some of the a whole nother way to generate income and a whole nother way to, as an entrepreneur, to diversify and create another stream of income even, you know, with, you know, raw land and what you guys are doing and hearing about your journey. So thank you for your time today, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. 2 hours a week is all it takes to get this little side hustle going if you're an entrepreneur.
That's cool. And 18 months if you want to exit out of where you are today.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, Josh. I really appreciate it.
Cool, man. I'm Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.